So, let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Father God, we just come before you this morning, Lord, just to offer ourselves to you, Lord, that we can be molded and shaped to be your child in which you designed us to be. And Lord, we just invite your presence and ask that right now that you would take over and that you would guide us and that you would lead us through your word, that we would have perfect understanding. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as we've been talking, we encounter these different scenarios. And as we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, there comes times we want to be upset. And it hit me. After we did the fruit of the Spirit last week, I'm driving, which I thought of you because you have the driving issues too.
I do.
So I'm driving, and this lady was turning in front of me. And I was in a hurry. I was working at UPS, and I was kind of in a hurry. And she was just going really slow. And my first initial thought was, hurry up. But you know what? The Spirit says at this moment, you have a choice. You have a choice to display the fruit of the Spirit within your heart, or you have a choice to lash out. And that's where it hit me. We have choices. We have choices. We don't have to lash out. We don't have to be upset. That's the point of the Spirit rising up in us and saying, at this moment, you have a choice. Do you want to obey yourself or do you want to obey me? It's just a simple, I mean, I wasn't talking to her, but it's a simple attitude. It's your heart. We have choices. We have a choice to display love. We have a choice to be joyful. We have a choice to be peaceful. We have a choice. And that choice is allowing the Spirit to flow through us. You know, I was at some place, and it was like everybody coming in, you say hi, and it was all of a sudden just so much negativity. You know, and I was thinking, that's just not the way it's supposed to be. You know, at this point, you have a choice. You have a choice to allow the joy of the Lord to rise up in your heart, or you have a choice to be complaining and negative. We have a choice. We have a choice to listen to the Spirit and allow Him to work through us, or we have a choice to do our own thing and call ourselves a Christian. You see that? So many times we want to make the wrong choices, but talk about how great we're doing. Everyday life's about choice. So it hit me as I was thinking about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It tells us to cast down imaginations. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against itself, the knowledge of God. And it says, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Chapter 10, verse 5.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. I'll read it again. But 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. It says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When you have a thought that you want to tell somebody about themselves, when you have a thought that you want to go off and complain, when you have a thought, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to pull that thought into captivity and look at it. If it's a thought that brings joy and peace and kindness, then you proceed with it. If it's a thought that brings anger and all the other negative things, you are to dismiss it. Sometimes we don't pull our thoughts into captivity. We just think it and speak it. Well, what's the Bible say about that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you see that, that lets you know what's going in that person's heart. Better yet, it lets you know what's going in your heart. And that's why we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit, when you allow the Spirit to get in your heart, when you're putting the Word in your heart, when you're doing that, you're allowing the Spirit to live through you. As the Spirit lives through you, like we talked about last week, you display the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, and gentleness. You don't have to try to display. You know, I think we manufacture fruit of the Spirit. I've always said that. I think we try to manufacture it. And what I mean by that, we try to do it on our own. We try to say, well, I'm supposed to be patient, so I'll be patient. I'm supposed to be joyful, so I'll be joyful. So I put a smile on my face and say kind words, but my heart is not joyful. I'll say I have patience, and I'll sit here and say, Rich, I got patience. I'm enduring it. But you go home and you're crying, you're stressing, you're throwing things. We try to manufacture it by saying it. We try to manufacture love by going out and hugging everybody, but then going home talking about them is not love. We can't manufacture the fruits. You allow the Spirit to display it through you. Does everybody understand that? It's a false fruit that we try to display. And they walk away thinking, oh man, that's a nice person. They really have a lot of patience. But yet they're home throwing things and breaking things and losing their minds and having a fit. We can't manufacture it. We just have to let it flow through us. And I think oftentimes as Christians, we too much try to manufacture love. One of the biggest things I see, I don't want to get too far off subject. One of the biggest things I see in hospice is people say, oh, I'm ready to die. Or patient or the family member say, I'm ready to let him go. They're saying the right things. But as soon as they pass away, they fall apart.
Yeah.
They're a wreck. Because they wasn't ready. It was the right things to say. I know a lot of Christians saying, oh, I'm ready for the Lord to come back. I'm ready for the Lord to come back. But as soon as they get a glimpse of the world's ending, all of a sudden panic and fear starts to rise up. You know, I'm ready to go to see the Lord. I'm ready to pass on. But as soon as the doctor gives you that news that you're passing, all of a sudden all this fear rises up. We try to manufacture things. We try to say, well, I'm enduring. I'm doing great. And the next thing that happens is we're losing it. We can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture the fruit. You allow the Spirit to flow through you. And that means that you just abide in Him and you do more of what He says. The biggest thing that I always see is be honest with yourself. To be honest with yourself, to say, you know what? I don't love people the way I'm supposed to. Be honest about it. I don't love the people the way I'm supposed to. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. I'm annoyed with them. And then when you can see that yourself, then you can say, okay, I have an issue with love. How do I fix it? God's saying, then draw closer to me. Draw closer to me. Because if you draw closer to Him, the love is just going to happen. It's just going to happen. So, everybody get that? You know, it's all a thought. It's all a choice that you make. It's all a choice. So the next time you're in a situation where you want to say something, and sometimes we say the wrong thing. Let's be honest. We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong thing. But at that moment, the Spirit convicts you. And then it's a matter of, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow when I face the same situation? You get it right.
You know? But you can't beat yourself up forever.
That's right.
Right. You got to go to God and repent and with all your heart want to change it. Because right. We all, the experience you have, I'm sure we'd all tell you probably last week we had a similar experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you fix it, you know.
You
thank God in those moments that He revealed it to you that your heart's really not that right. I can't come to you, Dorothy, and say your heart's not right. You'd be mad. But if God reveals it to you, you can see it.
But you know, it wouldn't matter.
Was you going to say something, Rachel?
Well, I just said, so we're doing, with my high school FCS, we're doing false gods. So we're starting to really talk about what do you get the most angry at? What do you find the most joy in? Where do you go for your peace? So to really pull out, like, what is our center of focus with all of these different things? And so one of the things that came up was like patience. So I shared with them what we had talked about in here last Sunday, and you know, we talked about it, you know, manufacturing this peace. And I said, you know, how do we all want that, and we all ask God for this, because we were talking about then prayers, and we know we're going into something, and I just shared with them, you know, we want this stuff, but those are all fruits of the Spirit. So if the Spirit is in us, then we are able to. And I say we, but He's able to achieve that through us. Just
right.
A vessel. Just a vessel.
Right.
So it's just interesting. I got to, it worked right into
good.
The lesson.
Well, I have a situation at work right now where everybody's really upset. I talked to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
All the other people in my field are just like furious. And my office is located right where everybody comes to talk about it. And I've been struggling with, you know, not getting angry and all
right.
this stuff and frustrated with it all. And after we talked last week, I sat there and I just, every time it seems like it would come up, I just go, okay, God, And it was the coolest thing because my biggest problem was when I was manufacturing it was trying not to start arguing, complaining with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd smile and it was like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
I think for them and for me. And I'd smile that nice Christian smile and it was nails on a chalkboard. And this week it was totally different. I smiled at them and they just went... I'm so afraid. All of a sudden, it just changed.
Right.
It wasn't that yuck stuff. It turned, and it was like, wow.
Right.
And it
right.
was so much easier.
you go God's way, it turns out easier. All right, so let's pick it up this week to finish up the fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week, we left off after kindness. This week, we're going to pick it up back at goodness. Goodness. This is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. I looked up goodness through the Bible, Easton's Illustrated Dictionary. This is what it said. Goodness. I liked it. The deliberate preference of right to wrong. The firm and persistent resistance to all moral evil. And the choosing and following of all moral good. So I thought about that. Think about it. Goodness, allowing the goodness to come through you, is a deliberate, it's an intent, a deliberate preference of right to wrong. We all know what's right and wrong. I mean, I remember the question was asked one time in church, how does people know what's right and what's wrong? And you heard so many different answers. But you know what's right and wrong because the Spirit lets you know what's right and wrong. That's the Spirit's job. The Spirit will rise up and say, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't think like that. And you only get that by being close to God through the Spirit.
Do you think that's an individual thing? Because
yeah.
The Spirit won't let me do something that maybe another Christian thinks that they're...
Right. That's why I say the Spirit talks to you.
An individual
yeah.
talking to me.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Everybody knows. Because I don't need to tell you what's right and wrong. Because what's right to me could be wrong to you. That's why you have to rely on the Spirit to tell you what's right and what's wrong. You know, some things are obviously wrong. And then within each person's life, they have a difference of right and wrong. For example, you take someone who used to be an alcoholic. They shouldn't sit down and have a glass of wine once a week or once a month. They should just do away with it. You take someone who's never been an alcoholic and they have a glass of wine once a week, once a month, it's no big deal. But if it used to control you, if it caused you to sin, then it's wrong for you.
Or causes somebody else.
Right. So that's, you know, it's up to each individual and where they're from and how their life is. Some things is going to be wrong for you. Some things will be right for you. See, you have to allow the Spirit. That's why goodness is a fruit. Because it is a deliberate preference to you as an individual of what's right and what's wrong. And I like what it says, the firm persistence to resist all moral evil. There's something inside of you that the Spirit wants to resist all evil. It wants to resist it. We know some things are evil, but sometimes we make excuses for it. We make excuses. We know some people do things that are evil. It could be a best friend. It could be a family member. And we make excuses for them. Where the goodness that rises up in you says, don't look at who they are. Look at the action. If it's wrong for this person, it's wrong for this person. You cannot excuse one and accuse the other. Which sometimes we do. Sometimes we do that. So we have to have that persistent resistance of all moral evil. It says it's the choosing and following of all moral good. Of all that is good. And I put a sentence here. And you know, sometimes we do things that aren't morally right in some of our attitudes and our thoughts. But at those moments, we need to back up. We need to back up and say, you know what? That was wrong. That's wrong. That in my life is wrong. And the Holy Spirit is too good to us to reveal what it is. And at that moment, we have to say, you know what, God, thanks for showing it to me. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get that right. That's just walking closer and closer and closer. You know, so many times we say, yeah, I know it's not right, but, you know, that's just who I am. I know it's not right, but that's just part of me. No, no, no. You take the opportunity to resist it because the Holy Spirit wants to resist it. He wants us to resist it. Does that make sense? All right. Faith and faithfulness, the next one. I like that one. Faith and faithfulness. I looked this up, too. I read a statement on this, and in faith it says, an utter dependency upon God to meet every need. A full assurance that he is in control that leaves no room for doubt, fear, or anxiety. I like that because it really made me think.
Can't read that
again. It said, an utter dependency upon God to meet every need. Think about that. You are dependent upon God to meet every need. Every need. And then this is the part I really like. A full assurance. He is in control. That leaves no room for doubt, fear, or anxiety. When we experience doubt, fear, and anxiety, subconsciously we're saying God's not in control. Because if you fully thought he was in control, you wouldn't have no doubt. You wouldn't have no fear. If you had full assurance, and so many times we say, yeah, I know he's in control, but we still have those doubts and we still have those fears. And I think sometimes those doubt and fears come because it might not turn out the way we want it. It might turn out the way God wants it. And we get so focused, we get so much tunnel vision on this is the way it needs to be done. And I have full assurance God's going to do it this way. And sometimes God says, do you have full assurance I'm going to help you? Yeah, he's thinking, well, I'm going to help you a different way. And when it doesn't go the way we want it, when it doesn't go the way we see it, all of a sudden doubt and fears arise. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, when you have a doubt, when you have a fear, when you have anxiety, you have to sit back and say, do I really trust God? Do I really trust God? Well, yeah, I do. Well, then why you got doubt? Why you have fear? Why you have anxiety? A lot of times people go into surgery. I trust God, but they're so afraid to be put to sleep. How can you trust him and yet be so afraid? How can you trust him? How can you trust that he's in full control, but yet be so afraid? If you're afraid, that means there's a little bit of doubt somewhere that he's in full control.
You know, when 9/11, I was at work at Children's Hospital, and I looked at the television, everyone was just staring, and I looked, pointed at the screen and said, God's still in control. And people looked at me like, I said, what? And she goes, what'd you just say? And I said, I didn't realize I said it out loud, but it just came right out. And I just said, they kind of get mad at me because I had this whole different, like I didn't care attitude.
Right.
But I mean, I knew God was still in control, obviously, or that never would have flew out of my mouth. I didn't know if he
was. Right.
But they had trouble with that, and then with me for a while, because they really thought I was.
I mean, it just comes to that point that we have to live what we say. How can you say, I trust God, he's going to meet every need, but then you have so much doubt, you have so much fear, you have so much anxiety. That is what's going on with the world today. We are moving into this end times discussion. We're moving into this end times thinking that everybody's just talking about. And everybody says, well, I trust God. But yet they have so much fear. They have so much anxiety. You can't. If you fully trust him, you trust him. And you trust him. And you know what? When you trust him like that, that makes it easier to give him glory in the midst of your trials. Instead of complaining in your trials, you give him joy. Because you say, God, I trust you. Let's do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't like it. It don't feel good, but I trust you. I don't know how you're going to meet this need. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's beyond me, but I trust you. And you know what? Sometimes in that trust, sometimes there might be areas where we brought on ourselves. That's a whole other situation. If this is brought on because of your own actions, then you got to say that. You got to admit to that and say, okay, well, he'll see me through it, but I got to go through this pain. I got to go through this struggle. I have to, you know, but that faithfulness, that faith, that's just something that rises up in you by the Spirit. And then that truly says, I trust, I believe. And then I was looking at the other aspect of faithfulness. You know, we talk about faith. faithfulness, being faithful to who you are, being faithful to what you say. You know, I was at this one church talking with the pastor, and there were some people that were supposed to come in and set up the cafe. Well, he looked at me and he said, it's like every other church. He says, we got people that sign up and say they're going to do it, and all of a sudden they're not there. Faithfulness. If we trust God, people got to learn to trust us. You know, we have to be committed to what we say we're going to do. If I say I'm going to do something, I got to be faithful in saying I'm going to do it, and I got to make sure that I do it. I can't go signing up for things and saying I'm going to be there and saying I'm going to do it and then not show up. There's too many times people say, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then they call at the last minute, I can't do it. You got to be faithful to what you say. You got to be faithful to what you're committed to. Because if you're not, then maybe you made a commitment out of the flesh. And if somebody asks you something and you don't know if you can do it, tell them, I don't know. I'll get back to you. Let me pray about that. We want to please everybody and we tell them what they want to hear. But when it comes down to it, we back out. We're not very faithful. We got to be faithful. We have to have faith in God, and we have to be faithful by allowing the Spirit to guide us and direct us. Because the Spirit might say, I really don't want you involved in that. That's not what I've called you to do. Let that go. And we don't want to hurt their feelings, so we say, yeah, we'll do it. And then when it comes time to doing it, you're calling up, I can't do it. We got to be faithful in what we do. Does anybody see that? You know, and that just means drawing closer to the Spirit, that he can guide you, that he can lead you, so you can be faithful in all that you do and all that you say. Any questions on that? Meekness, gentleness is the next one. Meekness, gentleness. You know, this is simple. This is an act of humility. The act of not thinking that you're better than other people. It's a quality. It's a state of being humble. I think a lot of times this is where a lot of division comes in. Is because everybody wants to be respected for what they're doing. You know, and oftentimes people say, well, this is the way we do it. This is the way it gets done. How about just saying, you know what? If that's the way you want to do it, that's fine by me. Let's do it your way. The act of being humble. The act of just saying, hey, let's do it your way. You know, too many times people always want to rise up and present, well, I do it this way, this is the way we've done it, and, you know, just I this and I that and I this. How about just being humble? Just being meekness, just being gentle. It was funny, I went to a chaplain's breakfast last week. I tell you how powerful God is. I was at this chaplain's breakfast, where it was all chaplains from the Columbus area. Hospice chaplains, I was the only one in there that did not have a degree. They all had their master's degree. They all been to seminary. But you know what? I had more experience than all of them. And it was just neat to see how God uses people. It was just neat to see how you just relax and let God control the shots and God put you into places. So they went around and they said, just give us an example of how long you've been and some of your, and I just said, I've been 9 years. I said, this is the way it came about. Left it alone. Where everybody else, I went to seminary. I got my master's. I did this. And I, you know, they just gave you this whole resume. And I was just like, God called me to it. God opened the door. And I just walked through it and there it is. And at some point you're thinking, well, I don't need to be here. I don't deserve to be here. You know, and that's just the gentleness. That's just God saying he wants to control the shots, because when he controls it, it makes everything so much better.
Anthony, that's neat. That makes me think of Moses. He didn't have any degrees either, but look what he did with the other
guys.
He didn't have a single degree.
Everybody's called in different ways. Some people are called into seminary because think about it. Some people need different things at different levels.
Right.
Like some of those people, they needed to go do that seminary and learn and do, you know, whatever. And that just wasn't what was needed for what he had you called for. But
right.
That's the awesome part, is listening and going the way, whether it seems like the world is not, it's not in step with the way that everybody else is doing it.
Right.
Right.
And when you do it that way, it keeps you humble because you don't want to say nothing. You know, you just want to sit there and just take a back seat and say, I'm not saying nothing, don't ask me nothing.
And you gave God the glory.
I'm not here.
You
right.
gave God the glory, not an institution.
Right.
You gave God the glory. Like, no, God opened up the doors and I just walked through.
I said I was here, God called me here, and he
yeah.
used these people to do it, and here I am.
Yeah.
You know? But you just gotta be subtle. Just be subtle about things. Just be meek. Just allow the spirit to rise up in you instead of always having a competition. You know? Sometimes we always make a competition. Well, this is the way I used to do it. This is the way it's done. And this is how many years, you know? And it just comes a point in time you just gotta just be quiet. Just be quiet and let it go. Now the last one, which is my favorite. Temperance. Temperance is also self-control. Self-control. Corey has no self-control. I'm just kidding.
That's real obvious.
I'm trying to teach my boys self-control. Yeah, but self-control comes from the spirit inside of you. The ability to control yourself. And how many times have we said something? Now think about it. Then you don't have to answer out loud. But how many times have you just reacted? How many times have you just did it? And you said, man, I didn't have no self-control. Well, what you've done, you just openly admit it to yourself. You're not following the Lord right now. That's what you've done. When you said, I just lost control. I lost my control. Well, you just openly admit it to yourself that you disobeyed God. And you've done it your own way. Because the Spirit says, don't do that. And we don't want to listen to the Spirit at the moment. We want to go with the heat of the passion, the emotions, and everything that's going on, and we just lose it. You know, you ever heard that phrase? And I've used it. It's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. So many times we just do it, and we think we can ask for forgiveness because it's easier than asking for permission. Because I guarantee if you say, God, should I do this? He's going to say no. So we just do it anyways, and then there we are, say, God, I'm sorry, I won't do it no more. I mean, self-control, the ability to control self. When God calls you to do something, when he calls you to get up, when he calls you to go, when he calls you to do something, he puts that control inside of you that allows you to listen to him to do it. Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, there's no excuse. There's no excuse at the end of the day. That's why I'm big on, you know, we want to go to worship. Let's go to worship. If I'm going to be there to worship, let me be there to worship. I'm big on that. Because think about it. If you was to wake up and say, God, I want to worship you this morning, but I really don't want to be on time. Do you think he'd be happy? God, I want to worship you, but I'll get there when I get there. Do you think he'd be happy? But the Spirit says, get up, get excited, go, and get ready to worship. The closer you draw, the more control that you have. The more self-control that you have. If you don't draw closer to God, you don't have no self-control. You just do and say as you feel. And at the end of the day, you're saying, oh, I knew I shouldn't have did that. I knew I shouldn't have said that. And God's saying, trust me. Walk with me. Walk with me. He gives you the ability to control yourself. So in this next week, as we'll all struggle, if you come to a point where you feel like, I just couldn't control myself, then look at yourself and say, I just totally disrespected and disobeyed God. Because that's what it comes down to. That's what it's going to come down to. He's too faithful. He's too just in order for us to fail. We got to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves, and we have to follow the leading of the Spirit in those moments. That makes sense? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit wants to do through us. So as I was thinking about this, I wanted to read two verses. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I looked up two verses that kind of goes hand in hand. Because now that we see the fruit of the Spirit, now that we see it, how can we live it? How can we apply it? Chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7 to the Living Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is really putting the fruit into play. He says, this is from the Living Version, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us. And no one will find fault with our ministry. You know, when you allow the Spirit to control your life, people's not going to find fault in it. Where are they going to find fault? Well, they believe in the Bible too much. They forgive too much. They love too much. They have too much patience. They're not going to find fault. But it says that we have to live in a way that no one will stumble. We have to live in a way that no one will stumble. If we introduce gossip, if we introduce negative words, and we introduce complaining amongst the people we're around, that's going to cause them to stumble. We have to live in a way that causes no one else to stumble. He goes on, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We, look at this, patiently endure troubles, hardships, and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, put into prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. Think about it. That's what they went through. But yet we lose an hour of sleep and there we are at work. Don't talk to me yet. You know, we get in our own little attitudes. I mean, we think, well, I only got 6 hours of sleep last night and we're grumpy. But yet here Paul's saying we went through many sleepless nights. We went hungry. They still displayed themselves by the fruit of the Spirit to rise up through them. You don't let your circumstances control you. You let the Holy Spirit control you. And when we talked about before, remember when we had that power outage? People became grumpy, irritated, and upset. Do you think the Holy Spirit says, okay, look, this is free period. This is free time. Everybody can do what they want. Since there's no electricity, it's free time. Everybody do what they want. No. The Spirit says you still are obligated to allow the Spirit to live through you, to present yourself with joy, with peace, with love. You don't let your electricity, you don't let your pleasures of this world dictate what you do. Because he says, in everything we do, we patiently endured troubles. You're going to have troubles. He says, in hardships and calamities, you're going to have hardships, you're going to have calamities, but you patiently endure it. And then he goes on in verse 6. Look at this. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. I like that because he says, we prove ourselves. We prove ourselves by our purity. We prove ourselves by our understanding, by our patience, by our kindness. How can we prove who we are? By allowing the Spirit to rise up through you and live through you. That's how you prove that you belong to Christ. By letting the Spirit live through you. Think about that. That's awesome. That's awesome. How can I prove who I am? By allowing the Spirit to rise up and live through me. So then in Colossians. If you want to turn to Colossians chapter 3. This is a good one. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. And I'm reading this one from the Living as well. And then we're going to, this is closing. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. He says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves. Think about it. He chose you. He says, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Right there's the fruit. Since he chose you, you have to clothe yourself. Now, how does this pertain to everyday living? Look in verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults. I like that. That's something I struggle with sometimes. We have to make allowance for that irresponsible driver in front of us. We have to make allowance for that disgruntled worker that's waiting on us. We have to make allowance for the person who's having a bad day in the work environment. He says, make allowance, meaning to allow it. Allow it. So he says, make allowance for each other's faults. And look at this. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's a mouthful right there. Make allowance. So when someone irritates you, you make allowance for it. You have to basically say, that's all right. I seen it coming. Don't worry about it.
Now I'm starting to understand the whole die to yourself thing.
Yep. Right.
Because, I mean, you talk about this stuff and you think about this stuff and you can say it, but it's like, that's hard. That's really, really hard. Well, you draw close to God and die
it
to
happens.
Yourself.
It happens, yes. See, to me, that's where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. Because we can say all the right things all day long, but we can do the wrong things by our living. Therefore, we don't prove ourselves, as this verse is talking about. We prove ourselves by allowing the Spirit to flow through us. And then he says, above all, look at this, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For remember, as one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. I like when he says, and let it. Because it's in there. You got to let it. If you don't let it, you're forcing your own issue. The Spirit is in you because you've accepted Him. He's in you. Let Him out. Deny yourself and let His way be done. Let His way take control. When He says make allowance, then you make allowance. That don't mean you talk about them. You make allowance. The next time you're in the office and someone's talking about them, then you should say, I made mistakes before, so I'm not even going to talk about them. You make allowance. You make allowance. You forgive others because He forgave us. You let it come through. You don't have to force it. That's the thing. You don't have to force it. It wants to come out. You let it. You just let it by drawing closer to God.
Sometimes it's like, are you in the education world? Do you have any clue what's going on? Like, we are in these classrooms with these children. It's almost like a removed, like, you don't remember what happens in a classroom. Anyways, long story short, it's been going on for a few years. And so I have another girlfriend that I go with it. Her husband is a pastor in Zanesville. Like that's his job. Mm-hmm. They've done it. So she's, And so we have tried to keep each other accountable. Because it's so easy sometimes, I think, to slip into that, what was he thinking on that one? Like, why would he do that? So we just have this phrase that we say back and forth to each other. It's actually from the new movie that's out. But we just have a phrase back and forth to each other. And it's just like, when you find yourself in that conversation, whether it's people around you, I'll look at her, she'll look at me, and like, put the coffee on. And I walked away the other day because it started and we were in the hall and I was like, I'm going to go put the coffee on. She started laughing. Everybody's like, what? And I just walked away. I thought, don't do it. Get away from it. So I don't know at what point I can stand in a conversation and just listen to it and be okay with it. I don't know for how long I have to just remove myself until I don't know. And I guess God will figure that out with me. But sometimes I feel like it's best for me just to remove myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's got to make allowance for it.
Yeah.
I always use that phrase, you need a Snicker bar. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going nowhere. We're not going nowhere. We're here. We got to endure it. Just give me a Snicker bar.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make allowance for their mistakes. Because, and sometimes you remove yourself so you don't sin. Sometimes you take yourself out of it so you don't do anything.
And that's what I did when I just went back to my room. I thought, this conversation isn't going to go anywhere good. So.
And how many times have we said, there is no excuse for that behavior? But God's saying, make allowance for it.
Make, look in the mirror.
Make allowance for it. It's going to happen. And it's tough, but like Denise said, it's that whole attitude of let me die to myself. It's
I can do that easier with people that maybe I work with them around than I can with family.
I mean, let's look at it like this.
I agree.
Could you imagine if Jesus sometimes took our attitude on? And he said, I don't want to be around these people anymore. I'm leaving. I'm going back to heaven.
And he can do that.
I mean, imagine Jesus going to the cross. And he's saying, you know what? These people are making the same foot. I ain't got time for this. I'm going back. I'm just going to remove myself from them. But he said, I'm going to bear it. I'm going to endure it. I'm going to stay in it. And I'm going to allow them. And he said, God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. forgiven. You know? It's tough, but sometimes we just have to say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Make an allowance.
If you think they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, because it's kind of
like they don't know what they're doing. Yeah, I think everybody knows what they're doing. They don't care
sometimes. Yeah, I've often asked that question. But I think that sometimes Satan has people so blinded they can't see the truth.
They don't care.
And why would you expect them to see it our way when we're in the light, they're in the darkness? So let's pray. Any prayers? We got Paula.
Rob, Jennifer's boyfriend's stepfather, he has cancer really bad.
I guess prayer would be for this church to make a stand, because today would be the first time in America that an imam will be preaching in the pulpit.
A what?
An imam, which is the highest Muslim of the order. They're like high Muslim. And he's doing a three-day seminar to learn about Muslim faith and all that stuff. And it's like the church just has to rise up and say, no, we're not going to preach the gospel.
You know, when you really look in the Bible, it's one thing I really believe. There's a verse in there that says there'll be a great falling away first before he comes back. So as we know there's going to be a great falling away, we know that there's going to be more false prophets that arise. We know that false teachings are going to arise. We know it's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. There'll be a great falling away. And more people are going to be led astray.
I've actually, during the day, I'll see, hear something or see something on TV. Thank you, God, for showing it to me.
Right.
Because you see it's coming together.
And when we talk about the signs, we talk about the seasons. Those things like that, those are things that just shows us more and more of the seasons that we're in.
Right.
Yeah. It just proves, and God's up there saying, I told you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Any other prayer requests?
Just our student body, we've had an issue with, the females coming to school with pornography at our school. And it's not the visual type, it's the reading type. And teachers in my building that are saying that we shouldn't be censoring what the children read as long as they're reading. And that's just very sad to me. So our administration, positive, they are strong against that stuff. So that's a praise. But just to, I don't even know what you pray for at that point.
Well, let's pray. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Father God, we come before you, Lord, just thanking you for this time. Thanking you that your word gives us direction on how to live. And thanking you, more importantly, that you went to the cross, that you could give us your spirit, that we don't have to do it ourselves. That all we have to do is yield to you. And that your spirit will flow through us to produce the fruit that it takes to prove that we belong to you, that proves that we trust you and we lean on you. And Lord, we just lift up Paula. We know that her sons are in need of prayer and her co-workers are in need of prayer. And Paula as well is in need of prayer, that she could stay strong and keep moving on. And Lord, we just lift her up to you once again, that you would continue to encourage her and continue to give her that ability to keep pressing forward and doing the things that you've called her to do. And Lord, we just lift up Denise's friends, as the dad has been diagnosed with some health problems and he's going through some issues. And Lord, we know that you're the ultimate healer, the great physician. But Lord, we ask that you would touch this family spiritually as well as physically. Lord, we just ask that you would just send people their way to guide them to the direction that the gospel gives deliverance, that the gospel sets them free. And Lord, that they would see more to it than just what they're dealing with. And we just put them in your hands and ask that you would step forward. Lord, we lift up Rob, who has cancer. Lord, we just ask that you would be with him, be with the family, be with the doctors. And Lord, we just ask that somehow, some way that a strong testimony would come out of this, that he would give you the glory, that he would understand that, you know, cancer is not the end, but the cancer sometimes leads to the beginning of life. And sometimes that life means eternity life. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with that family and guide them. Lord, we just lift up the church as your word tells us there's a great falling away. Lord, we see it in your word. Your word is true. And Lord, you predicted it before we even noticed it. And Lord, sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes we struggle to understand what it means there's going to be a great falling away. And Lord, sometimes we're taken back and we're surprised at what we see. But Lord, we know that you're not absent of what you see. Lord, we know that you're strong and you're mighty, and we know that your word is true. And Lord, we just pray that the people that you want to be saved, that Lord, that they would not have any direct influence by what is being preached and what's being said. Lord, we pray that you would raise up good Christian leaders that's willing to proclaim the gospel, that it would interfere with all this false preaching that's going on. And Lord, we lift up the schools. We know that they're under attack. Lord, we know the kids are fertile breeding ground for Satan to step in and take over this younger generation. But in the name of Jesus, we reclaim victory. Amen. Lord, we just pray that you would raise up strong leadership. Lord, we pray that you would raise up strong students, that they would have an influence on all the kids that's out there. But at the same time, Lord, we know that this is a season where children become more disobedient to their parents. We see this is a season where people are more lovers of themselves instead of lovers of God. And Lord, we see that this is all a plan that you have designed that's going to usher into the next generation and the next season. But in the meantime, Lord, we just pray that your glory, that your kingdom would be seen by other students, that all would not fall by the wayside. And Lord, we just pray and put these kids in your hands. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, all right, all right. New topic next week.